house together.
10 junk miles.
10 junk miles.
Junk miles.
Is it burping in the intro?
Hey, everybody. Let's run 10 junk miles together.
Oh, love it. Love it.
I was just seeing if I can make it work. Welcome back to episode 7 of 10 Junk Miles. I'm Scott Coomer with Kat Claiborne.
Hi.
Aaron German.
Good evening.
Corey Fain.
Hey, what's going on?
And we're back from our extended remix, 2.5 hour long edition from last time. And we're going to try and be a little
bit... We set some timers this time.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it high and tight, right?
Well, we realized that we forgot to do the Garmin noise, and the segments went on too long. So in a lot of ways, we're trying to figure out what we're doing at the same time that we're
I have a feeling it. Even if the Garmin noise would have gone off, the segments would have kept going anyway.
We had a very... I mean, the guest was in charge. I mean, prisoners took over.
Runyon was out of control. So, I mean, we apologize for that, but I listened to it, and I had a fucking blast, so I guess... I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Kat, what have you been up to since last time we were here?
Oh, I got to do the awesome Corey Fatass 4 hours in the bowl. So we ran in the... What was that place called?
Melas Park.
Yeah, Melas Park, and it was just up and down and up and down.
So you guys ran for 4 hours.
For 4 hours.
No straights, all up and down in a bowl.
Yeah, and cool. I really took it seriously. Like, I ran and hiked the whole 4 hours.
How many miles did you run?
Oh, my God. In 4 hours, I think I only got 13 miles.
And how much up and down did you do?
You know? Like 3,500 feet, I think.
What did the winner do?
A lot more than that.
20-something.
Zach did 27 loops. And there are 0.8 miles each, and his Garmin.
So which the calculation?
5,000.
5,000 feet.
It was 20 miles for 27 loops.
Oh, cool.
And then the girl was Megan.
Yeah.
25 miles. Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Like 25 loops, not miles.
And how did you feel after you did that?
Oh my gosh! I mean, I pushed myself to the limit. I was pretty tired at the end of that.
Did that seem like a good 18? Workout for you guys?
Oh yeah, I'm still workout. A little bit sore.
Yeah, I would like to go back and do that again. Yeah. I think we could all benefit from that.
It was really good.
It's not the same as Water Bearers, because we do another workout where we do stairs, and then we do a loop, and then we do stairs, and then we do
a loop. Which I did the day before.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
sore for 6 days.
That workout, I think it's the mix of the anaerobic and the aerobic, and
it's just
really
the stairs. I was done for 6 days. I couldn't walk hardly. I thought I had compartment syndrome or some shit.
Yeah.
All right. So my calves were on. I'm sorry. I thought we were doing my part now. Are we still on Katarina? Continue.
Well, she might have done more than that. I don't know.
Katarina, what else did you do?
That's all I did.
Wow, that was two correct pronunciations.
But you're getting into you have the Black Hills coming up in 5 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to get in. I'm trying to get miles in, and that workout made me realize, oh crap, I really have to do more climbing and remind myself how to suffer through the ups and downs.
So like in your head, is there like a magic number of miles or a magic number of feet or whatever that you're going to try and target for the next few weeks or?
No, for me, if I can do over 50 miles that a week, that's fine. For me, the most important thing is that I don't get injured. And so I, up the miles or lower the miles, depending on how my body's feeling.
So you just try to get like 50-ish miles if you can, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't stress out about that. I just try to, get runs in each day. And
is Black Hills pretty hilly?
Yeah, it's, I think, 16,000 feet of climbing. So
over how many? Is it 50 miles?
It's 100 miles. Yeah.
So you don't have a training plan. You don't follow anything. You don't sit down and write out a plan. Nothing
like
that.
She's got kids and shit, Scotty. She's busy. She just tries to get her miles in.
Yeah, no, I probably should be a little bit more.
Have you ever done that for a 100-mile race?
Science-y?
No, I've never done that because the first 100-miler that I did, I was only going to do 50 miles.
Yeah.
And I read the book the night before.
I remember that.
What's the book?
We go to breakfast.
That's good.
After she finishes
really good
the Potawatomi 100, we're at breakfast. And she says, oh, but I thought I was going to do some reading. And she pulls out Relentless Forward Progress. And she's like, I was going to read this the night before.
Yeah, no. It's
like an ultra book.
It's like the book that everybody reads to learn about how to train for 100.
And she decided to read it the night before.
The night before.
That doesn't stress you out or anything. Yeah?
No. Uh-huh.
You're pretty calm before races.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna read this 500 page book to calm my nerves.
Right, right. No, I'm minimizing this a bit. I mean, like okay, I did that great workout, the 4 hours in the bowl. And then so for the next few days, I still ran, but I wanted to make sure that my body was recovering rather than like, oh, I got to get in 15 miles and tomorrow I have to do 22.5 miles. And like, you know, it's for me, it's more about listening to my body and making sure that I get some good key workouts in. But I don't stress about it. To me, the 100 milers, mostly mental. And so if I can get to the starting line not injured, then that's success.
So, all right.
Yeah.
All right. What have you been doing, Aaron?
I did that thing. What'd you call it? The water bears?
Right.
We just paused there because you were distracted.
I was looking at how
I'm trying to make
time.
Eye contact with you and you were distracted.
We're on the radio. No one cares if we see.
Katarina's been staring at my mustache all day. She won't look me right in the eyes.
We'll have to put a picture of the mustache on
the mustache webpage. Is okay, but it's not evenly cut.
Yeah.
So that's what's pulling
so
my
So it's
eyes.
The asymmetry that's fucking you up.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn between Hitler and porn star. I can't figure out which way
it depends on which way he's looking.
I was going for more like, you know, 1985. Was it Magnum PI?
You could laugh into the microphone too. Don't worry about the guest is like totally afraid of laughing out loud.
The guest is totally distracted by my mustache as well.
There's no cough button.
Yeah. No. Wow. We don't play that way. Laughter in the background is
all right. I did the water bears. Should we get back on track?
Oh, he kind of went Amanda on me right there.
Who's the guest?
You put the arm out. And boom! I was done.
First of all, I didn't understand what water bears were. You described it briefly. It's it's a very small.
It's a micro animal that is the toughest animal on the planet, right. And
one of the oldest too. I think isn't it?
I don't know about that. I didn't read the whole Wikipedia
page. I actually made up that workout.
Yeah. Well, wow. We made it up together, didn't we?
No, I made it up and you named credit. It. So oh. I went and did that workout.
Because I thought you said to me, what would you do if you were
nope,
me? And I
nope,
said I would go
nope,
do those stairs.
Nope.
Okay.
I made up the workout and then you named it.
So we named it the water bear because it's this
what's animal. The name of the park? It's in Illinois here.
It's at Swallow Cliff. Palos.
And you show up and there is every single middle-aged obese person out in the suburbs is walking up and down the stairs.
And some like Eastern Bloc people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And those Eastern Bloc women who are somewhat obese as well. They're kicking your ass
there's
on
some
the
like,
stairs.
There's
they're
some
way
like late
than we are.
There's some like late 30s early 40s dudes who look like they play basketball twice a week who are doing like 3 sets of 10 and they're shirtless. And just dripping.
There was a contingency of triathlon douche.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of that.
A little military.
And then there was like long Mexican family, like with lots of kids.
But you get there and it's like, what is it? It's 250 stairs.
Yeah.
Is up
I
one.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what Shelley's
127 stairs?
I think it's 250.
Nobody knows. Mm-hmm.
He said it was 250.
It's really hard.
But anyway, you do 10 of those, and then you do an 8-mile running loop on a trail. Then you do 10 of those, and then 8 miles. And then I stopped at 10 more. I just did three.
You did three stairs, two loops.
Two loops, yeah. That's because the 46-year-old man I was running with was tired.
That's Alec Bath. Yeah. Shelley's. Yeah. Shelley Cook was a guest down here.
He totally pussed out. Make sure that we get that on there.
He didn't do the third thing.
No.
Oh.
So I'm like, well, I won't do it either then.
Well, and to be fair, his marathon PR is a little bit slower than yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
But you guys are going head to head at Chicago.
So the third on the last 3 miles of the 8 mile second run, we were doing like 5.5-minute miles sprinting. He just kept
racing
speeding up.
Each other?
Like there was some new dude with us.
Is there any Garmin data or Strava data that we can look at this? Are
he
you
might,
on Strava?
He might have it. No, I'm not.
See? Well, yeah. You got to get on Strava because then we could verify this. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we just you guys could have been on 12-minute miles.
There's like a new guy that was like trying to be part of the group and we were like including him and then he decided to take all Shelley's.
Alec.
God damn it. I kept calling him Alex. Yeah, which also was irritating
yeah,
to
sure.
everybody.
There isn't a person.
He like took, I'm like, well, fuck, I guess it's on. But it was a good time.
But 5.5 minute. If we call Alec right now, 5.5-minute mile, he'd verify that.
He'd verify that.
All right, we're going to text him during the show just to find out.
So anyway, we did that. Then we ate everything all day, and then Scotty went to go see Mad Max. It was awesome, and it's all I've done.
I've watched the trailer like 10 times.
The movie is really.
I tried
so
to convince my kids to go see
Scott?
It, but they wouldn't go.
Scotty, it was just a mandate. Oh. Scotty's wife was out of town.
Mm-hmm. She was.
We have about 12 seconds in this segment.
All right, and Corey. Corey, what did you do?
You have 5 seconds. I got 5 seconds.
5, 4, 3.
I hosted a fat ass 4 hours in the bowl. We ran up and down hills a lot. Cat liked it.
I did water bears and I did the bowl. I did the mandate. I did the.
What'd you do this last weekend?
Memorial Day weekend. I ran. I've been running my balls off. I ran like 75 miles. I've been getting the vert in. I'm training. Jeez.
Katarina and I stuck it.
That was like a fart.
Way to hog the segment.
I know. Way to hog the segment.
Well, we'll give you guys the lame segment, the next one.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, we can talk as much as
we want. I'm just going to start talking about
myself. Why don't you guys talk over the interviewee's interview?
I cut off your story at one point, Corey.
Which one?
You were telling something about your kids.
Cut that off.
Nobody cares.
We don't hear more about Mad Max.
Yeah. If that's what it was about. I was trying to get my kids to go see Mad Max, and they're like, no, we're not going. And I thought they should.
I want to read an iTunes comment of the week.
Let's do it.
We have two of them.
What's the segment called? We need a little music.
We need music. What are we going to call it? iTunes...
something snappy like Katarina's corner.
How about comment corner?
They all have.
Well, we'll have corner in all of them, which is ironic because we don't run anywhere where there's corners. Yeah. We'll have to call someone.
Aaron's accolades.
Oh, I like that.
Whatever it is, it's got to have alliteration.
Yeah. Anyway, we have two new ones, and if you haven't left an iTunes comment, what's wrong with you? All right. If you're listening to this and you have so much free time in your life that you can listen to this, you got 5 minutes, make an iTunes comment.
The more exclamation marks, the better.
It moves us up on the list, and then other people find the show, and that's really cool. And
just to be fair, I would never review something on iTunes.
Have you ever reviewed this show?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see.
Well, other than my own show.
Well, all right. So we have two. That one says, really fun podcast by Kingston597. 5 stars, and he says this podcast was a very pleasant surprise. I discovered it on accident, and it quickly became one of my favorite podcasts. It's casual but informative. I love the slightly irreverent humor. He must be talking about Aaron and his questionable humor. Makes me laugh out loud. 5 stars. And then also Matthew 27 hands, which is all his name. It's so amazing. With many explanation points.
That could be like Katarina's son or something.
I'm going to say 12 explanation points. Exclamation points.
Exclamation.
Best in the West. How do you guys feel about exclamation points? One, more than one, overused, underused. Do you have any strong feelings about
overused.
That?
Overused. No. Overused. I love it. You get one.
I've been moving away from them. Because I
do
feel
three.
Like, yeah, three.
Yeah.
I do one exclamation point.
Because like, you type one and then you're like, they're not going to get it.
They don't know how excited I am.
I don't know. I just feel like three is the correct number.
It's become like the word awesome. The word awesome back in your guys' day. I just learned how old Katarina was today. That was used to describe like the solar system and planetary and planets. And now it's just like, this podcast is awesome. Like it doesn't really describe anything anymore that means anything.
Well, remember we
too many exclamation
like
points.
Too casual.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did you remember that girl we used to run with at Fleet Feet? We used to call her Amy Awesome.
Yeah.
Because everything was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's right.
Like every single thing.
She was like super bubbly.
I use one exclamation point in almost every time I'm being sarcastic. Yeah. Like if I say,
I can see that.
Oh my God, that's super awesome! Exclamation point. Yeah. That means I'm.
Most things you say are in text. Sorry, is sarcastic.
What? Everything I say in text?
Yeah.
Well, this guy says we're the best in the
Sorry
Midwest.
To fucking walk all over
I
your
think
point
awesome
there.
Awesome came from Valley Girls. Like, gag me with a spoon.
That started
that?
It?
I just think of Fast Times at Ridgemont
really
High. There was
yeah,
a
Valley
scene
Girls.
Where he goes, totally awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end or something. I don't remember what happened. It'll come to me during the
Have one of our awesome guests get back to us on that.
Yeah. Someone's going to know. Anyway. Those are the 2 5-star reviews. If you haven't left a review, you should leave a review. It really helps us out a lot.
What's that one at the bottom there?
That does.
Wow.
Party has now started.
The beer is flowing.
All right,
so next, we're going to do Cat's Kudos.
Cat's.
I have 2 Cat's Kudos today. One is this guy who, I was attracted to his page on Strava because I like to see dirty feet. I know that sounds really weird, but...
Let's talk about that a little bit
Let's pause there. I whenever my feet are gross, Kat says, send me a picture.
Right.
And Kat has never seen a foot picture that's grossed her out.
Scotty's are pretty gross.
And I don't know why. She's like fascinated.
She's never seen... I have really gross feet.
It's really interesting. Let me see.
No. It's embarrassing.
Anyway, so this guy, his name's Ron Hammett. It looks like he's from Las Vegas. And you know how you can have your little profile picture on Strava? Mm-hmm. His is of his dirty feet. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And the run that I'm going to give him kudos for had a really awesome title, first of all. He called it Diarrhea in the Morning, The Runs in the Afternoon.
Runner's Trots.
But so it was kind of a nice, catchy title, caught my attention.
It is catchy.
But what I liked about it is that he ran 7 miles and he climbed 1,200 feet. So to me, that's a pretty good workout. Awesome. You know, he had a bad morning sitting on the pot and still got up and ran in the afternoon. So and that's, good job, Ron.
In some ways, a man after your heart, too, because sometimes you have issues where you have to poop and you're like worried about it before the race, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's happened.
Yeah, we're like, I gotta poop.
I hope I can poop. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't get it done before the race, you got issues.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because then, you know, what would you rather do? Poop on a toilet with toilet paper or go in the woods?
What I don't want to do is poop at mile three. You know, yeah, I would rather get it done before the gun goes off.
Exactly. Or even after the gun goes off.
Scotty's always been worried about me having to go during a marathon because where every second counts.
Yeah.
I've never had to.
I'm thinking that when he gets into the 240 whatever,
that's when it's gonna happen.
We're gonna see the brown leg on him.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Would you do it? Let's say that you're on pace, you're gonna go 338 is your current pace, and if you stop to poop, you're going 342.
I like how you're using the three handle, first of all.
Oh, I'm sorry, two.
Yeah. I think I'll stop if it's gonna be a 338.
It'll stop.
But yeah, that's a good, I mean, that's, you know, you're factoring all that in, you know, you're thinking about people that are gonna see it. There's only, I probably shit myself. Go ahead. Continue.
So the answer is yes, you would shit yourself.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the kudos.
I think you'd have to. Anyway, so good job, Ron. That was a really good run and interesting dirty feat. Mm-hmm. Okay, and second kudos goes to Matt Lee. He lives in Wisconsin. It looks like Oostburg, Wisconsin.
Scotty.
But,
is that right?
I've never heard of that.
Oh, okay. So this guy had a great run. He did a Hingham Memorial Day run. But what was cool about it is that he set a 1 mile, a 2 mile, and a 5K PR during his run.
Nice.
And that's tough. I mean, running a fast mile and a fast 5K. So good job on that. And, you know, excellent work running fast. That's something that I struggle with.
Yeah, I don't ever do that.
Cat's kudos.
Yeah, so good job, Matt.
Do you know what your record is in the 1 mile and the 2 mile?
Nope.
Never.
Really? Mm-mm. Does anybody? Kat, you know. You used to sprint.
Yeah, but that's not a sprint.
Sure. Yeah. I think I did like a 5-minute mile after I got back from Boulder, just out on a training run. But that's not official. And it's definitely not on Strava.
The word from Shelly and Alec is that on the last downhill, maybe for about 60 seconds, you might have been going 5:30 mile. Maybe on a downhill. That's what they said.
Well, he's old. He doesn't know what he's...
Should we get him on the blower? Should I call him right now?
Yeah.
All right.
I actually had a lot of fun running with Alec. I'm giving him a hard time.
Yeah. Well, and you should give him a hard time because he ditched out on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be here. All right. So next, how much time we have before our next segment?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
A minute and 30 seconds.
We should have, you know what would be nice? If we had like a weather girl.
Or wait, there's one more
traffic.
wasn't there another kudos?
Traffic on the fives.
Oh, Zach.
Oh, right. We can do that.
First place age group. Zach, please.
Yeah, we have.
He won the bowl
on the 10 junk miles page.
So no weather girl. Go ahead. The
she's not a weather girl.
I know.
The we had asked for results. Anybody have any results? And the problem is that the last episode aired today. Or yesterday, and now, you know, I'm asking for results for like a 1 day period. But David Failing, who's a friend of all of ours, he ran his first 50 at the Berryman 50 on May 16th, just 7 months after his first run of 20 plus miles. So he's a 50 mile finisher.
Nice job.
And then our friend Megan, 4 hours in the bowl, 24 loops, first place female, still waiting for her prize, Corey.
I got
to figure
that out.
There supposed to be a prize?
There was supposed to be.
Did you give anything to Zach?
No, yes. I told Zach was too humble to take a prize.
You told me that you did.
Megan, you could have taken one of those sticker books.
Yeah.
It was also the day after she did 50 times swallow stairs.
She only did 10 miles running, though.
Yeah, 10 miles of running, 50 times stairs. All right.
She was doing push-ups and shit at the top of each one of those stairs, though.
Well, like she's tougher than you are.
And she biked to and from.
In a fist fight, Megan versus Aaron, who are you taking? I might take Megan. I've seen her lift weights. Megan.
Yeah, she does like powerlifting and shit.
She could powerlift.
I don't know. The mustache is making me think.
It depends
I would
if Aaron
has
shaved or not.
It's tantalizing, if nothing else.
Alec has also pointed out that some of us don't walk the stairs.
I didn't walk. I walked the last two or three.
Next, we're gonna interview our guest tonight. It's Jen DeSalvo. Say hi, Jen.
Hi, I've been dying here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you guys hear how syrupy her voice is.
She is syrupy.
She's a
finally got a pro on
She's
here.
A professional.
Yeah. Well, and by way of historical background, so now that we've introduced her, we're gonna just talk about her and not let her talk for a little bit.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
When we first came up with the idea of having this podcast, because of the fact that Jen is in the radio and because she has a syrupy voice, we were going to have her be on the show. But like right about the time that we did that, she got promoted, and just with the time constraints and all of that stuff, and it's probably for the best because the time has been the biggest issue with this podcast. She couldn't do it. So, you know, her loss is our gain in Katarina, but now she's going to make up for it by being syrupy here on the air with us.
I can do that.
So quickly, just tell us what you do for a living.
What I do for a living, I am a morning radio personality and traffic anchor on WLS 89, the big 89, 890 AM.
Are they going to give us money for that?
No. And what's your name on the radio?
Jen DeSalvo.
You're not Traffic Jam Jen?
No, I still use Traffic Jam Jen, but when I was on their FM signal 94.7, so they called me Traffic Jam
Not
Jen.
Anymore, you're not Traffic Jam Jen.
Not really. I don't even know if the host knows that I used to be Traffic Jam Jen.
Well, it probably does now. He's going to listen to this, right?
Sure.
You're going to make him listen to this.
It'll teach them a little bit about ultra running.
Well, there you got to put it on your Facebook page so that everybody at work will listen to this.
I think so, because I think everybody at work still thinks that my next step is an Ironman. I don't swim.
That's not your next step.
That's not my
Does
next
being
step.
On this in any way conflict with your contract or anything?
Nope, because okay. I made sure to get it approved before I signed my contract.
I'll be damned. Nice.
Because I thought I was going to be on here weekly. Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that was written in. And
I guess you're a guest. It's like a celebrity guest.
What was the biggest thing that happened in the traffic world today?
The biggest thing that happened in the traffic world. Well, the Skokie Yellow Line trains aren't functioning right now. There was a huge sinkhole and the track kind of fell into it. So it was a good thing that the driver saw that last week.
So did you like break in live? Skokie Yellow Line's down, you know, all that kind of
That's
stuff.
That's been going on for a week.
God, you fucking nailed that ESPN music, by the way.
That should be the sound effects guy.
Today was pretty boring. And, you know, the job is really sadistic because... if you have nothing going on, if everybody is okay and they get home to their, you know, children without
That's safe,
losing
but it's
something.
It's boring for you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to date a girl in London whose job was to react to, like suicides on trains.
Yeah.
To, like, clean them up. Oh. So she had, like, a beeper that if somebody, you know, like the holidays were busy.
Oh my God.
We probably didn't need to go down that road.
I've never heard this story.
Go on.
I don't think you guys realize, though, that when it comes to Metro and Amtrak, we have at least one of those per week.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like there's always somebody around.
There's somebody who's got that job.
And it's not necessarily that the pedestrian is just in the way and they get struck. There's a lot of premeditated pedestrians being struck.
A lot of setup.
So nice. One of the reasons, other than your
back
syrupy
to running
voice,
and coolness.
The reason why we wanted you on the show is because you just recently completed your first 100-mile run.
I did.
Yay. Okay.
I did.
Woo-hoo. And Corey was your pacer, wasn't he?
He was my pacer.
One of the pacers.
Yeah, yeah.
Trevor in blue jeans.
That's awesome. And he wore jeans, right?
Yeah. Yep. Are we supposed to do this whole, like, haven't asked her for approval of using her name thing?
Oh, shit.
But no, there's no rules. You can talk about whatever you want. Sue you, it's on you. It's not on us.
My pacer, Julie, had told me...
Is that Julie Bain?
Julie Bain.
Did she give us permission to use her name?
No.
I don't
she
know.
Did not.
Right, well, yeah. She told me with ample time, though, you know, that I had her for 30 to 40 miles, and at mile 50, I decided that's when I was going to use her, which was... bad planning on my part because I would have just quit at mile 80 if Corey didn't come down in his skinny jeans and
you were close
to
quitting.
Wearing skinny jeans that day.
I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how close were you to just giving up?
12.
You were done.
Beyond giving up.
There was a fork in you. Why were you done? Tell us what was going through your mind. What were you feeling at that point in time?
Oh, I was feeling lots of things. It really was a mental game. It had nothing to do with my body because I thought that I had blisters on the bottom of my feet, which we found out later were actually those shaker hand warmers that you put in your gloves,
right.
Lodged into the bottom of my shoe along with some dryer sheets. I don't know how they got there, but, you know, they were there. I had been sick like about mile 30 to mile 35 the day before. I forgot to eat. I just stopped eating and just... continued to forget to eat. It got a little bit warmer out, so therefore once I hit like mile 55, mile 60, I was just so nauseous.
So like 30 miles you're not eating?
Yeah, yeah.
That's bad.
Starvation.
Oh, it was
diet.
Horrible. And I didn't even say anything to my pacers or my crew.
It's your pacer's fault, goddammit.
Well, right. You know, why isn't your pacer saying? I mean, I bet your Corey said, are you eating, are you drinking, are you peeing, right?
At that point, I didn't have a pacer with me from like 30 to 50. So they didn't see me out there not eating.
And this was during the daylight
Yeah, that was during the daylight. And I did have like plenty of little packages of Perpetuum backup, you know, that could have been put in bottles, but I never said anything to them. All I wanted was one of those damn gondolas from Avanti's. You know, it's like the turkey and bologna and all that. And
no idea what you're talking about.
Dude, you think of some weird shit when you're running 100 miles.
Well, and Avanti's is out there. It's like a
so
famous restaurant.
So you were just thinking about this sandwich this as particular you were running, sandwich. Yeah. And then they didn't have that sandwich at the
you're
aid
like,
station.
Fuck it, I don't
so
want
like,
anything
no,
here.
No, it wasn't the aid station. Oh. It was at mile 40. My mom and Don, my boyfriend, and my mother were like, hey, do you want a gondola from Avanti's? I'm like, yes. When I get back here, I want that. And when I came back, it wasn't there. They were waiting until dinner time.
And you were like, fuck you guys.
But the thing is that a dinner time for a 100-mile runner is not dinner time for
so you just got
else.
Really depressed when that sandwich was not available.
I know how that goes.
Yeah.
That mean, me and Aaron have both been there many times. Yeah. We've suffered the blues over a sandwich.
And then they try to feed me like a cheeseburger or something. I'm like, I don't want beef. Who wants beef right now?
Scotty likes
this guy.
Yeah. Sorry, Scott.
Yeah. I've never met a cheeseburger.
So, well, 40, you were ready to eat, and they had nothing, and you decided you didn't want anything because of that.
Yes, because after that, I had already passed the hump where I'd gotten nauseous, and it was like, I'm not putting this in me.
So in your brain, you were like, oh, I'm fine. I don't need to eat anything.
Mm-hmm. When I finally got the gondola, it sat in my bottle holder in my pack for a whole 10-mile loop. Couldn't even put it in my mouth.
Why didn't you eat any of the, I mean, the great thing about Potawatomi is it's like a freaking, you know, buffet. Mm-hmm. They got meatball sandwiches. They'll
bacon.
Cook you whatever you want.
And they had donuts. And when we did that Salchicha 40 Fat Ass with the Flatlanders back in October, I fueled with only Dunkin' Donuts. I was having a donut per loop. It was the best run that I had in a long time. And you would have thought that donuts would have helped me at Potawatomi, but I wasn't even wanting the
Dunkin'
donuts.
Well, let me tell you one thing that we talked about, and that's the... It's the mistake of the what I call the post hoc ergo prompter hoc. It's the you know, it worked, sure. Therefore. It, well, I mean, what it means is you know after it, therefore because of it. So we have the tendency to say you know you ate donuts and you ran your ass off and you had a great day. Therefore, eating donuts equals having a good day. And then you go to the next race and you're like, all right, mom, I want those donuts and those donuts. You need a donut here, a donut there. You know, you're all donuted it up and it doesn't work. And then you're just fucked because you're like, well, that donuts don't work.
But it wasn't necessarily that donuts don't or do work. I know that they do work because I did like maybe 5 or 6 30-plus mile runs throughout my training.
All on donuts?
More than half of them I did with donuts.
All Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts.
They'd be a good sponsor, by the way.
Yeah, there's one like at the end of my block.
It'd be a perfect time for a segue into our Dunkin' Donuts commercial if we had it written already.
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts.
So, wait. So, Jen, is this a matter of, runs on Dunkin'. Like, you know, this is just a new distance and new things happened because you were running further than you have before?
Yeah, the longest that I had done prior to that was 100K at a 24-hour run last summer. As soon as I hit that distance PR, I quit.
That's our Christmas in July?
That is.
She's always
that's pretty good.
Christmas in July.
I mean, so you were prepared for how you were going to feel mile 50 and...
Yeah, I've done four 50-mile races before. So, you know, I've always felt really good with 50-mile races. Although I do sometimes get nauseous. I have known that in the past. At Christmas in July, I got nauseous. So I sat down and stopped with my stomach for a little bit.
When do you get nauseous? What mile?
You know, that one started at 10 p.m. And so I was nauseous because I've eaten food the entire day before I started running. So I don't know. Does anybody else get like that? I have to do my runs in the morning.
Yeah, that's a weird time to start running, to start eating. I don't even know what I would do for that.
I mean, but you're like getting nauseous because you ate too much.
No, it's acid reflux mostly.
Oh,
and like having the burning esophagus and the sloshy stomach, and it's just a whole big mess. But
I know for me, like I did a TGIF once where we do these nighttime runs. We do these fat ass runs. A lot of people in the group, they want to run at night. They've never run at night. So we meet at 8 or 9 or 10 at night, and we run through the night. And the first time I did that, I made the mistake of saying, well, I better eat a big dinner and eat all this food. And then, that's all we have time for, Jen. Thanks for coming. Yeah. We'll see you next
time.
Thanks
for the 3-hour wait. You can leave now.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
So anyway, next, you can join us in any of the conversation, and then we'll keep asking you some questions,
too. We're not kicking you out. But I'm going to finish my story anyway because I'm here. But I just remember I loaded up, and then when I started running, I had diarrhea. I had indigestion. I mean, so I've started, like, my thing is I don't eat before I run. I like run until I get hungry, and then it becomes like we were talking about. We did a 4 junk mile run before the podcast, 5 junk mile, and
today.
Yep. Today, yeah.
Do you guys all run together?
Yeah.
I was setting up.
If you would have been here 3.5 hours earlier.
Yeah. I was in a spin class.
But I try to eat as much as I can early on in the run so that I don't run into a digestive issue later. But back to you, Jen. So you've finished this 100-mile run. Now you have to go out and you have to tell all your friends that you ran 100 miles. What's the reaction by a lot of people?
The first reaction is, I don't even like to drive that far. Well, nobody effing likes to drive that far.
That's weird. Never heard that.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
Or, everybody's I don't really run that far unless I'm being chased. No, when you're being chased, you can't run anything then. Yeah. You're going
to
be caught.
Does the average person really know what it's like to drive 100 miles? I mean, no. is that something that happens routinely in their lives?
Driving 100 miles?
The average, the average person makes really cliched bad jokes.
Everyone says that.
The average commute to and from work is only like 20 miles as it is anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are these people that are driving 100 miles all the time? They're so
and not liking it while they're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why are they driving 100
miles? If you're driving
100
miles, it's because you're going somewhere awesome. Like, fucking... I don't know, Six
Milwaukee.
Flags.
What's 100 miles away from me? That's awesome.
Oh, I can say the F word here, can't
you? Can say whatever you want.
This is an AM radio.
Yeah.
Jen, how did you pick Potawatomi 100? Like, is it just the timing of when it was right to do that in your life? And why that race?
It was pure pressure. Yeah, the food was great. I had absolutely no desire to do a 100-mile race whatsoever, but you're not a real ultra runner until you do 100 miles.
Says who? I mean, I would agree with
I think
that.
It's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of, you know, douchey people on Facebook that will tell you that. So I decided, okay, what the heck? I'm going to sign up for the Potawatomi 100. I've done the 50 out there. It was wonderfully supported. Everybody that I know and love is going to be there, so might as well make that my first. You know, even though I run on the lakefront in Chicago, so how do I get hill training? But I registered in May of 2014, so it gave me a whole year to kind of mentally and physically prepare for it. And I don't know. I mean, I was really into training.
Unlike Kat, who just kind of wings it with the training, you were pretty structured with how you approached your mileage, right?
Yeah. I followed the Ultra Ladies plan that's online, which is pretty grueling.
It is. I remember thinking you were crazy when you were telling me what you were doing, like 3 weekends in a row. You had a 20 mile and a 30 mile back to back.
Yeah. I mean, I altered that a little bit where I would do like a 30 mile and then maybe like a 15 or 12. But
it's called Ultra Ladies.
Still.
Yeah, Ultra Ladies.
But it's not just for women.
No, it's not. No. Oh, gosh. No,
but it's done by women.
It was written by like the Ultra Ladies group. Like, for example, if Flatlanders goes out and writes a plan,
mm-hmm.
then they'd have like the Flatlanders plan.
So some guy who lives in Colorado, you know, they found the Flatlander plan. But why are you following the Flatlander? Well, like, it's not just for people that live in flat areas.
So it's not just for ladies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Aaron is going to be doing his first 100 miler next year.
Wait, really? So, where?
I haven't signed up or anything yet.
Western States or Leadville?
I'm talking about
it.
He's going to seriously start off with Western States or Leadville.
Let's start and end.
Yeah, because we're all going to do Leadville together.
Yeah, I'm going to start and end with
that. In 2017.
I think I've been convinced.
2016.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. You should come do it with us.
How do I get into Leadville? What do I have to do?
I'm going
to
pay whatever it costs to get in.
And then we're going to go in as a team as well. So,
I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
How many people are on a team?
Corey, I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
But Corey can't run it. He's got to pace me because how the fuck am I?
Well, I'll just run it with you.
You don't need a pacer.
Yeah.
By that
you don't
time,
need a pacer.
Pacers apparently suck anyway. They didn't tell you to eat. So why do you need a pacer?
I told her to eat when I was pacing.
He did a great job of telling me to eat.
Step into a Slim Jim.
He had pockets filled with like food.
Did he play music for you too?
He played music for me. He took his headphones and turned them outside.
Speaker mode, dance party mode.
Yeah. Wait, Jen. So at mile 80, you were going to quit. What did Corey say to you? What did people say to you that got you going again?
I don't even know.
Oh my God. When she came into that aid station, she was like, also, she was mad at me and Scott and maybe you two or whoever else. Like, so the like the subtext of all of that.
Not me. What did I do?
I wasn't there. She was mad at me.
We all like associated.
I had already quit the race.
I don't think you knew that I was mad at you.
We were all mad at me during the race? Internet in certain groups, and then certain groups disappeared, and so some of us didn't talk, and some people thought that it meant more than it did.
I thought it meant nobody was friends with me anymore. I got really like hurt and sad, and you know.
Wait,
I had no
you're
idea.
Serious.
My vagina like, hey, let's hurt. Go.
Wait, hold on, back up.
Finally,
during the race.
Finally, we got vagina in.
Wait,
I thought it was going to come up with the Ultra Ladies, but we finally got it in. Continue. Go ahead.
That's I'm what trying she said. To process something here. So I was not at this race. I was at home. And you were mad at me while you were running your race?
Yeah. I mean, I was more so mad at Corey, I think.
who was pissing in his blue jeans.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was the guy who was right there and I could take out my aggressions on at mile 80.
What were you mad at me for?
Just for being a bitch.
I didn't hear about this.
It was completely unwarranted. It was all in my head when I look back. Because the thing that nobody really gets when it comes to running a 100 and training for a 100 is that you will be so fucked in the head mentally throughout this whole process that you are not the same person. When you get into those high mileage weeks,
okay,
when
but you're what doing were you mad at me for? You're not answering the question.
Corey just said that we were associated in certain groups on the internet, and those groups disappeared, and I felt like that I lost my friends. And I felt a few weeks
before. Oh, the disappearance of the douchebag group.
Oh, okay, anyway, sorry.
This is remember when we were running this morning?
Maybe Kat wasn't even involved in that.
Remember when we were talking about the
loosely bit
the
in there,
opera
not.
Going on in the head thing?
Oh, Jen has a little opera going on in her head.
She invented something that was going on that really wasn't.
Oh,
and she
so
was
she
mad
was
at you
mad
about
mad
it.
At me about something that
but,
I'm like.
But here's the good news. She never called you and told you she was mad.
Yeah.
So you never had to suffer.
You're just learning about it now.
Okay.
So I start pacing her after like
are you still mad at me,
separately
Jen?
Her being totally out of running the race. And then she's like, you know, I'm kind of pissed at you guys. And I was like, fuck you.
Oh, yes. This is going to be fun.
He's in his jeans and I'm yelling at him for like the first mile. I'm so surprised he did not step out and be like, you know what, you're on your own, bitch. Like,
all right.
I was like, this is what I expect when you show up to pace somebody. You never know what mode they're going to be in.
Truly, truly, truly sorry for that.
Very sorry. Wow.
You know, and while I'm at it, maybe I should apologize to Julie publicly for at mile 65 blowing on her.
Probably.
But this is a thing, though. When you're, the same I mean, I've never run this far. I
just to put into context,
for like
2 years ago, I ran this race, and for about 20 miles, all I could think about was that maybe someone at the aid station had a cigarette.
Right.
Really wanted a cigarette bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I would you have had one if someone did?
I probably would have. I was 3 years of not smoking.
You just start focusing on something, and I just, you're just like, God, it'd be great if I could just get
that. That's why we want to have the Bonk phone number.
Olives. Yeah. I remember wanting olives. Oh, I just wanted olives.
Yeah. I wanted a cigarette at mile 41 of the 50 at Pot.
I remember you mentioning the cigarettes once.
Yeah. That's why we think it would be so fascinating if we got that voicemail. And we just started having people call at mile 80, mile 90, and start hearing the crazy shit that's going on in their head.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet it would be just
I've done some long workouts, like on a Saturday, like a 3 hour or something, and all I could think about is just I saw the fucking giggle over there.
Is this spinning?
Put your giggle. It might be
3 hours of spinning. Huh?
All I could think that about might be hard. Is how much I want a Snickers bar.
Why don't you just get a Snickers
bar? If you're working out for 3 hours, you can have a Snickers bar while you're working out.
And that's great. It's delightful.
Yeah. You know,
I'm trying to fucking relate to you assholes.
On Saturdays, when I'm working out for like 8 hours, I think I want a Snickers bar.
Okay, we're not gladiating here.
It's okay. Because we probably do the same amount of miles in my 8 hours.
First of all, the guest came with no gifts.
Once in a while, I'll get up off the couch and go get a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
No workout necessary.
Just trying to relate.
So now what's next for you? You did 100. What's next?
Well, right now I'm actually coaching a charity marathon team. So I am.
Who is that? You got to plug the charity. You can't just skip by that.
I just don't want them to drop me for dropping F-bombs.
Also, no, Aaron,
please tell me it's breast. Is it breast cancer?
And that's not
ding,
funny.
Ding, 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 ding. For those of you at home with bingo cards, you can cross off the breast cancer.
We got vagina and breast cancer.
The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's team in training. This is the 8th year I've been involved with them.
Aaron, do you have any problem with leukemia and lymphoma?
No, those are good to go.
Amanda, the last guest, have lymphoma?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hodgkin's lymphoma, right?
Yep.
When she was younger?
Yeah. No, like a couple
recently.
Years ago. She went through chemo while she was getting married.
When she was in her mid-20s, younger.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Really? Anyway. When she was getting married?
Yeah. She said it wasn't that bad. She said it's overrated.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, you know, I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
Because organizations then like the LLS have done their job in trying to find...
What's your 8th year training people for it?
Well, no, this is my 1st year actually coaching. I've been running with them and mentoring. So now I'm actually coaching a bunch of brand new runners who've never done a distance event before.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It's really neat. They're adorable.
Are they intimidated by you?
She did 100.
I didn't want to talk about the 100. You know, I didn't want people to think, you know, anything or have it minimalize any of their accomplishments to this point.
It was like 10 Mississippi. Well, I did 100 one time.
That's like that Amanda Runyon. Well, but one subject that kind of carries on to what she was talking about is I wanted to take a little bit of time and talk about the 100-mile concept because it's something that we keep talking about. I did 100, you did 100, let's do 100, whatever. But to a lot of people that are listening, that do 5 mile, 10 mile, half marathon, marathon, which is probably more people that listen than do ultra marathons. They might hear 100 and just think that's inconceivable, or that no one could ever do that, or it's impossible, or so on. So she's got her finger up.
Oh, yeah. I have my finger up.
No, go ahead. If you got a whole thing on this, go ahead.
I felt it was completely the opposite. It didn't seem inconceivable because I was seeing every single one of you guys like just nail these out. Like, it was a crap before breakfast. 100 mile here, 100 mile there.
Crap and before breakfast is sometimes a big deal.
Sometimes.
Sorry,
sometimes,
go ahead.
But sometimes it's fairly easy to get out.
Let me just say that I have never run a marathon that felt like a crap before breakfast, much less a 100 mile race. But
yeah, you know, seeing all of my friends do this on a consistent basis, and especially like somebody like Katarina, you set out to do the Potawatomi 50 last year and you decided to finish 100 miles at that race. So knowing like, oh, well, if you can go 50, you can go 100. I really thought that it was going to be a lot easier than it was. And to people out there who think about doing a 100, it's not fucking easy. It is difficult. It is a whole mental game, and it is 26 weeks of grueling training that really changes a person's personality. So that's my take on it.
How'd Don like your personality afterwards?
You know, he liked it better because I would constantly be on his ass to clean the house. And during training, he never heard me once be
nice.
Say anything about the watermarks or the vacuuming.
He just tuckers you out.
The watermarks?
Yeah, like around the sink in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, if you get water everywhere.
We know about your
That's
house
like something
there.
That would not register in my brain in any way.
Men.
Well, I mean, I think to the person that's listening that doesn't have, I mean, you said, yeah, you saw a whole bunch of people run 100 miles. I think that's a different context. But I think if you're Joe Schmo who lives in, you know, Ohio, and you've never had any experience with ultra running, and you're listening to this because of the funny stories, and you say, 100 miles, that seems almost impossible. I think, you know, there's, I mean, one of the things that I remember thinking after I finished my first 100 mile race was that wasn't as bad as I imagined it in my head to be. Like, I imagined when I crossed the finish line that, you know, like all of the muscles that were holding my body up and my hips, and I would be barely able to move, and I would fall to the ground and, you know, sleep for days. And it didn't feel that bad when it happened. And I think the other thing that I'm realizing over time as a guy who runs slower is that, you know, you take, like we were talking about, the Kettle Moraine 100-mile race is coming up this summer, and all of us are participating in some level except Aaron, who's busy with his fantasy baseball on the phone right now.
And marathons.
I'm focused, Scotty. I'm very focused.
It is a 32-hour cutoff. So, you know, I did the math and broke it down. That's 19.2 minutes per mile, which all of us could probably walk that fast right now. I mean, we could probably, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I went out.
That's never how it goes once you start doing it, though.
It's
you
not.
Start off and you're like, I'm going to run for a long time. I'm just going to, oh, I can run this whole thing. And all of a sudden you're like, maybe I've been running for too long. And then you're like, you start adding up the time you spend at aid stations, and then you start walking slower than 19.2.
Some people go to the director and they want to have that time eliminated.
Right. But the other thing is that, you know, 19.2 minute miles, if you want to average that, if you run half of it, and you jog, if you power walked half and you jogged the other half, you're well under the 32-hour cutoff. And to most people, you know, the idea of running 100 miles, what they're picturing in their mind isn't,
I don't even like to drive
power hiking plus jogging. It's more like they've imagined their marathon pace and doing that for 100 miles.
Mm-hmm. Which there are some people who can do that.
But yeah. You've mentioned this to me, Scotty, that just imagine standing on your feet for 32 hours.
Yeah. I mean,
that's hard.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But not hard like you imagine in your brain running 100 miles. You know, I mean, it's a different kind of hard.
Sometimes I finish a race and I'm like, I couldn't even go one more foot. I don't know how anybody does these things.
Well, but your body knows that was the number of feet you were going to run, right? I mean, that's the other issue.
To me, the most important thing about when you approach the 100 miler is that you can't be anticipating like what you still have left to do. You have to really, maybe it's sort of like a Buddhist kind of event where you have to, you know, you have to be in the moment.
Buddhist,
like you can't, because otherwise it's too overwhelming. You know, like you're saying, you finish the marathon and you can't imagine doing three more. Well, same thing when you're in the event itself, you're just, you know, I'm focusing on what I'm doing now. I'm moving. I'm you know, running or jogging or walking ahead. I'm doing what I have to do to take care of myself. And you're not, like, worrying or using up brain cells thinking about like how much more you still have left, because then that freaks you out and gets you, or you know, thinking about how I need the Avanti's
sometimes
sandwich, that can throw you off because you really have to just be in the moment.
You're very good at just focusing on the next 10 minutes, the next hour, the next...
No, not even the next 10 minutes.
Just like what's happening right now.
Like, okay, now I'm running across a bridge. Okay, now here's a big hill. I think this one I'm going to hike up.
Do you ever worry about like what's going to happen in 3 days? When you're done and how sore and beat up? Like,
well, that's a whole different story.
I don't ever think about that while I'm...
No, I don't think about that while I'm...
In training or when I get home or something.
I always like how Scotty's story, because he's so beat up afterwards. It's like chafed and... gross that he doesn't shower for like a couple days.
No, just one day.
It's one day.
Yeah, I mean it depends on the race.
He's not allowed. He's not allowed with his wife in the bed. He sits on top like a taco.
You can use Desitin to make it so that it's possible.
He like
to
rolls
shower
up shaped. Into like your you like roll up in your duvet and just
like after Superior Sawtooth. Yeah, I was raw skin on a lot of my body and a lot of it in the bad places. Yeah. And I just got on the bed, put the duvet on top of me, and passed out because
that's a really good wife.
There's no way I'm getting in the shower, you know, with the salty, you know, and all that.
But for like how many hours? Like 24 hours afterwards.
No, I showered the next morning. Oh, you know, okay. Once you kind of scab over.
My mind, it was like 2 or 3 days.
Once you scab over. Yeah. I had no chafing from pot of water.
I was going to ask if there's any kind of interesting things that happened to you.
Absolutely not. No, Corey brought up the Desitin, and that's what I did before I started. And at mile 50, I put on fresh socks and lubed up with Desitin.
Desitin, that's like a thing that we use for babies, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's for diaper rash. And if you also put in all of your nooks and crannies where you don't want chafing.
Around your bits and bobs.
Well, and, exactly. You know, the other really challenging part about running 100 miles, like the thing that Aaron's probably going to struggle with more is the nutritional side.
Mm. Well, because, that's what I'm worried about.
You know, he's eating a lot of gels and he can run, you know, faster than all of us. And, you know, if you could like give him a pill that would make him have all the nutrients he needs for the race, he'd crush the course record. But
so I need some pills.
When they hand him a turkey sandwich at mile 30, you know, he's, you know, that's something that he's going to have to try and figure out. That's not, I mean, sometimes people say it's a, you know, 50 mile race with a 50 mile eating contest afterward, because you just, if you don't eat,
there's no way to really
you're
train
not going to finish.
That either, is there?
And it's really hard to describe to someone who hasn't done it before how your stomach feels once you hit like mile 60 or 70. I mean, it just turns off, and the things that you were craving earlier in the race just like disgust you. And so you're sitting there like, you don't want to eat, but you know you have to, and having to like force that food down is the weirdest feeling.
I remember at my first 100, I laid on the floor staring up the ceiling for 30 minutes, just like, make it stop. And I don't even know what it was. I just like couldn't eat or not
eat.
If you
forego so the weird. Nutrition, then you reach the point where we call it the hunger strike, where you're throwing up whatever you eat.
Right.
And then if you don't eat, you can't run, and then you're just stuck in this land of...
It's like being sick.
So this happens to everybody.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of everybody, I think that 100 miles as a concept is something that almost... I would say everybody could do, or almost everybody could do.
I think everybody could do it.
I mean, agree.
4 years ago, I was a chubby smoker guy, and like, I was... If it seems like it's a... I don't smoke anymore. But
I mean, if you put a cigarette in my hand, I'd be a chubby smoking guy right now. So
I think a lot of people think of 100 miles just like, oh, I could never do that. And I really don't think that's true. I think if you just put your mind to it, even within if you want to do that within a year, I think it's just like, something that like really anybody could do.
I think it's if that's your dream and you'd like to do it, I think anybody could do it.
Hey, you got
to
be disciplined, though. You really have to make
it
a lifestyle change. Yeah,
but there's not like a separate set of people who are like, those are the humans who can do 100 miles.
Right.
These are
well,
people.
That's interesting you guys are explaining it like that, because that's how I feel about being able to run fast. You just have to want it and you have to work at it.
Hmm.
I think anybody can do it.
Well,
that's interesting, because I think of being fast as like, oh, I can never do that.
Me
but,
too.
But I think there's two parts of being fast. I think there's the being trained and being thin and you know, those things that you can control. Right. And then there's the other part, like Amanda's Brad. He's just a fast guy, you know?
Right.
I mean, he's born fast. He has more ability. So, but I think that they're two different
Definitely
things.
Not getting injured is a huge thing for all of these, right? Like Katarina was saying earlier, she just wants to show up without being injured. But, I mean, good enough.
Run 100 miles, everyone.
Yeah, everybody should run 100 miles.
Oh, earlier when I wasn't able to talk yet and everybody was talking about how they don't know their mile PR, 6:11.
That's 1 mile. That's pretty good.
Just saying.
I think that's faster than me.
Yeah. I don't even know if I could run
that's
that
pretty fast.
We should do good. like a 10 junk mile, 1 mile challenge.
I think
like
so.
Everybody, 1 mile, 5K.
Between now and the next episode, let's all run a
Amanda's
1 mile.
Brad does. Why don't like we just run a track meet?
We can all run each other against each other in the 100 meter dash. Then we can do the hurdles and the long jump.
I like this, but I guarantee you guys, as ultra runners, it took me like 7 warm up miles to hit that like 6:11 miles.
No, it does. So, yeah. Even for me, I don't get fast.
People. I was just thinking, let's just all go out and do 1 mile on Strava and see who's the fastest.
Can we do a Clamato 1 mile race?
What?
We get the Clamato mile?
The Budweiser Clamato.
That's a concept that we haven't introduced yet. Why don't you tell everybody about the Clamato?
It's clam juice and tomato Bud Light beverage.
This next segment will be sponsored by the Clamato. Aaron, make up a commercial about the Clamato. He drank 7 of them during the Las Vegas Marathon.
What?
They're delightful.
He kept stopping at the liquor stores and buying Clamatos.
I ran the Vegas Marathon with Scotty and my business partner and friend and Scotty's mutual friend, Chris. And because I was going to run with them, and it's Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to drink during the race.
He was hammered.
So I did, like, 7 beers. I was, like, running backwards at one point for, like, a mile. This guy's like, Aaron, you're just being an asshole now.
We stopped at the taco stand and got chicken tacos, which had to be prepared. They cooked the chicken
raw chicken
from the beginning to end. Yeah.
Did anybody else do this in the marathon?
Nobody
or were they all wearing their
this.
Waist belts and hitting their garments?
Yeah. And at one point, I stopped and got a because they come in 25-ounce cans. And I come running out of the gas station with a 25-ounce Clamato at like mile 19, and dude. Scotty and Chris are ahead of me, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm super chatty. It's hard to believe." And I'm chatting up this lady to go, "Hey, what's going on?" And she goes, "Is that a beer? Gross!" I like made her ill by me chugging a beer that had tomato and clam juice.
And now let's back up to the whole you're worried about the nutritional side of this, all right? Because the fact that you could drink Clamatos and eat chicken tacos,
right?
That points you're to set, you dude. Have potential at the 100-mile distance.
It was a very fun race because you got a good buzz going, mm-hmm. and it was delightful.
You're just
so much fun.
You're scaling back the pace a little.
Yep.
You're ramping up the food a little.
Yep. I feel like that's what you'd have a hard time with is going slower. Like, could you intentionally go slower?
Sure. Yeah.
See,
take a little of the alcohol out.
Really well at the 100-mile distance.
I mean, I've done I did a 50K that it took me.
Came in second, one of the top 100.
There was like a 26-mile race I did that, or the marathon.
That's a marathon.
No. Listen, sister. just stick to the traffic, all right? The Sawtooth Marathon.
That was a trail marathon.
It took me like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you ran 20,
you gotta slow that shit down.
If you did 20 hours for the Sawtooth 100, you'd be in top 10.
Oh, we'd win or something.
You'd be close.
Yeah.
So you just gotta do 4 of those.
You'd have to wait for another.
I still
got to
beat Shane in a 50-mile
hours,
race. You know,
you're never gonna beat Shane in a 50-mile race. That's the problem. I mean,
Shane's great.
Shane goes out the other day and he posts on Facebook. He did a training run because he's running across Panama.
Panama.
55-mile training run. Just went out and did 55 miles.
Who sings that?
On like a Saturday.
I don't know, like
Van
Led
Halen.
Zeppelin or something.
Let's keep it that way.
Thank you.
Is that where you're getting
at? Thank you.
Oh, so the song and the joke was from the 80s. Okay.
Good one.
Well, still fucking vintage.
That's a new one. Right. Yeah, so Shane will go out and he'll do a 55-mile training run. No water bottle.
Right.
He just take his credit card, stop and get some water, maybe mile 25 or 30.
That frozen gnome we did, Shane asked me at the end because I beat him. He goes, were you trying? Because I wasn't even trying. I'm like, fuck, that's genius. That's some bullshit, but it's genius.
I mean, I watched him run 410 miles in 1 week. I mean, he's a machine, especially on pavement.
Should we get Shane's last name on here so people can look him up?
Shane Riggs. Shane Riggs, he's a great guy.
Got a girlfriend, ladies. Was she Brazilian or something? Shane does.
I think she's Panamanian.
Oh, that's
I mean, he's running across Panama. Yeah, right?
I know it's his story to tell, but the poor girl, like their first date, I think she was telling me how they were going to go to the museums and he picked her up and she had never run more than like 4 miles and they ran like 14 miles to all the museums as their first date.
She's a gamer. She did a loop with him at the Indiana 100 too.
Yeah. Well, she signed up for Christmas in July 24 hour last year.
Don't worry. We'll edit that part.
And she had never done more than like 14 miles and she belted out like 80 some that day.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean,
she's
I think for the listeners, and at some point we'll probably have the race director on to talk about his race, but the Christmas in July race is a 1 mile loop timed event, 6 hours, 24 hours, who's 12
the,
hours.
Who's the race director?
It's three guys. It's Ed Kelly, Brian Gaines, and then who's the third guy?
I don't know.
Terry Mandel or something like that. Anyway, right, it's cool. 1 mile loop, and it's all dolled up like Christmas, and you know it's on pavement. We kind of give it a hard time because I mean, who the hell would want to run in a 1 mile pavement loop? I mean,
I would.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jen would, and I guess there are people that are into that. So
Katarina does. She loved the 0.8-mile loop and the bowl.
I mean, you get pancakes every mile.
Yeah.
Pancakes every mile would be good. So you're doing that this year?
No.
Oh, well, why not?
I'm not racing until after the marathon's over. I'm going to help all of the newbies, and then my first.
You're doing the Chicago Marathon?
I will be at the Chicago Marathon, yeah.
So but you're running with the group?
Are you pacing your group?
I'm not necessarily pacing. I'm probably going to be at like 5 miles of the course to help out people from, you know, start to finish. Like the fast runners all the way to the walkers.
Who's the fastest runners in your group versus slowest? What's the range we're talking about?
They're all first long distance runs. Yeah,
it's hard to say. Like last year there was somebody that ran like a 240 marathon that was in the group that was fundraising. This year I think that we have some people, it's more so like between 9 and 11 minute mile pace. So
somewhere between 9 and 11.
Yeah, and then some walkers, so... Yeah. So yeah, but well, a lot of times there's walkers that finish towards the end. So
do you guys have a goal for the amount of money you're trying to raise, or is it just her?
$1 million.
That's perfect.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Between how many people?
We have
10, or just the whole charity, or
it's $100,000 a person to get into her race.
We have 150 members on the city team right now. So
cool.
Yeah, well,
you know, and that's the other thing I wanted to talk about
trans millionaires.
Where we were talking about the 100,000 or the 100 mile race, hiking and walking and power hiking, you know. The first time that I met Alfredo, we were pacing someone running across Wisconsin, Kathleen Rittman. And I got out of the car, and she was at mile 120 of 150. And at that point, she said, "I'm not running anymore. My hair hurts, you know, that's it." So we had
that's something that a woman would say.
But she can power hike like no one you've ever met.
He would just say his mustache hurts.
Yes, his mustache.
Sorry,
hurts.
Go ahead with your story.
What I just said, I'm going to.
Or his vagina hurts, yeah. If
thank
you will.
Thank you.
So me and Alfredo were power hiking with Kathleen Rittman. And now, understand that I was in really good condition at that time. I was getting ready for my first 50-mile race. I was training my ass off. I was feeling good. And I was running back-to-backs 20-30 on the weekends. So I'm in great shape, but now I'm power hiking. From the couch to power hiking, and we end up power hiking 50K. So we're in 31 miles of hiking. I will submit that no matter how good a shape you are, if you get up tomorrow and you run 30 or you power hike 31 miles, shit starts to hurt. Yeah. Because you don't normally power hike that much. And I remember looking over at Alfredo and saying, "What are we gonna do if this crazy bitch starts running again?" Because I am like limping at this point from power hiking. So that was where I learned a really valuable lesson, and that's that, you know, you have to practice the power hiking as well. Because like kind of like what Corey was saying, it's not 19.2 minute miles throughout the whole race. When you get to the point where you're walking, you're doing the death slog 25 minute mile, you know, like not moving down the road with a purpose either. So, you know, That kind of plays into the whole 100 mile
training. Then what happens too is your mind believes that you're going at a certain pace, and if your watch is still working, you look down. Like let's say, oh, I think I'm moving pretty well. I might be hitting, you know, 11 minute miles right now. You look down at your watch and it might say 16 minute miles. Like you can't even sense because the effort is so much harder.
Yeah. So many times I thought that I was running and I was like, "You guys, I'm running." And like a friend was pacing me like, "Dude, that you're
dude,
not.
We're yeah, actually,
like,
you might as well we're walk. Actually running backwards."
So what was my pace for the last 20 miles? Because it felt like I was going like 8:30s.
You were going pretty fast the last 20 miles.
You're probably not going 8:30s.
Yeah. No.
Well, 12:50s. Two hours and some for 10 miles. So I don't know what that was. 10 something.
2 hour loops.
Yeah.
It was
that's a fast loop at Powell.
Yeah.
The winner did 2 hour loops.
2:30 was your last loop, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the last loop's always one of the it's always a little faster.
Okay.
So that's 15 minute miles.
See? That felt like 8:30.
I know.
It looked like it to me. I mean you looked like you were cruising.
You actually only used your calculator for that, like, but it was pretty fast.
No, I did that in my head.
She did that right in her noodle. Well, I mean 20 hours, 100 miles.
No,
I don't know any of the shortcuts.
I figured it out, but that's okay.
No.
2 hours and 30 minutes is 150.
10 minutes are long segments. Seems like it's a lot longer than 10 minutes.
You should have been here last week. Oh my God. We had 3 hours of material.
Yeah, somebody does like 20 minutes of material about how they order a burger.
And yeah, Runyon can do 10 minutes just on chicken sandwich alone.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
The next segment is going to be a really, really fascinating interview with the great Candace Burt. We're going to talk about her being a race director and running 200 miles and all of that kind of stuff. And Candace is exploring the forest.
Do you want me to go to her website and answer all your questions that you were going to ask her?
Could we interview you as Candace? I don't know
how she sounds. I just know that I follow her and I think that she's pretty amazing.
She's like a different voice.
She is pretty awesome. Well, why don't we instead go to the grab bag? We'll do a little junk in the trunk, but like we don't really have.
We got a couple on the Tundrick Miles Facebook.
We have them on the Facebook page. So,
Eric Walker says, "How do you know when the wisest decision is to DNS or DNF, and to have the strength to do so?"
I think Corey should answer the DNS.
I've done a lot of DNS.
What does DNS stand for?
Did not start.
Didn't even fucking start.
Yeah.
Kat isn't familiar with this one.
Kat has never DNS'd. Oh no, you have DNS'd. I've DNS'd. Yeah. She's never DNF'd.
Right.
I've never had a problem with DNSing or had to, that for me wasn't a decision that required strength. It just was like a life logistics thing. Like I just couldn't make it out to the race or something came up that I wasn't expecting.
So you've never had one where you were like on the edge of maybe being injured, maybe not being injured?
No, I don't think I've ever done it for that.
I mean, I remember one where you didn't come out on the trip because it was a conflict due to Father's Day. But it wasn't actually Father's Day. So maybe on
which one was that? Oh, San Juan.
That was maybe like a calendar problem that you had.
No, that one was, I didn't realize how far from Denver it was. And then it would have been like a 5-day weekend instead of a 3-day.
That was a geography issue.
Yes. Just logistics.
Geography plus calendar.
I would have loved to do that race. I still want to do that.
That was the prettiest race ever.
So wait, are we answering his question?
No, not at all.
So as for DNS, you don't have to give a fuck. Just DNS if you want to.
Yeah, well, who here has actually DNS'd for an injury?
I have.
Okay.
Then AC 100.
Scotty actually raised his hand.
Which that you would have cared about, right?
I mean, yeah, it was a race that it was a dream race. There was a lot of people there that I really wanted to run with and see and meet, and it was a really tough decision, but I didn't want to spend, you know, $3,000 to fly to Los Angeles to not run or to run, you know, 10 miles.
It's a really expensive flight.
I'm talking about crew. I mean, when you do these 100-mile races and you bring someone with to be your pacer or crew, sometimes it's courteous to put them up.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it
so,
really?
Like, I'm taking Katarina to LA. I'm flying her out there. Putting her up in a hotel. But you know what? When I see her mile 52, it's not going to be about her. It's going to be about me. You know, it's going to be like, let's go. You're working for me.
So one of the reasons to DNS is if the logistics don't match what, you know, you're prepared to do, like you're all the money and the time and all that. No, but like
I was suddenly injured.
You know, there's a
injury's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott was saying he was injured.
If he's injured and the race is in his backyard, he's probably still going to start and try. But there's so much to put into traveling to California.
For example, I was injured I had the same injury for the Sawtooth 100 last year. Mm-hmm. But I drove up there in the car with my friends, and
what injury did you have?
Gluteus minimus tendinosus.
Never heard of this. Yeah. We never had this discussion.
I actually went to the real doctor, so that's like a big sign. We'll have a segment on that later.
You went to was this a proctologist?
No. I went to my GP, and then I got sent to a sports ortho guy.
It's a butt injury. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did X-rays.
Yeah, like if you ran behind physical therapy. Him, but you didn't. You could have told this just by running behind him, as like one butt cheek moved and the other one didn't.
Actually, if you Google it, it's called dead butt syndrome or something like
that. Oh, I've heard of this, yeah.
Dead butt syndrome.
His one butt cheek was dead.
You're not using your butts right. Your butt.
Well, I mean, I guess not.
Were you able to feel your butt? Like, through the butt, not through your hands? Or was it like numb?
Like how many fingers am I holding up?
I feel like she just wanted to say butt a lot right there.
She did. Yeah. Okay, wait. Let's put the train back on the tracks.
I just didn't know what a dead butt was.
Example. I'm going to Sawtooth anyway.
It's like, is it harder to poop?
I went up there and I ran for 20 miles, and then I dropped out of the race, and then I spent the next 30 hours crewing my friends, you know, and then Kat went and me and Kat crewed a little bit, and then Kat paced and I crewed. So, but that I didn't have to spend a lot of money, and I already had a trip planned. So, I mean, that's a very different, you know, venture.
So don't waste a ton of money when you're injured and you're trying to go race. that's a good time to DNS.
Yeah, and don't fly out to LA to have your heart broken by only going like 10 miles in your dream race. You know, I mean, if that would have been Hard Rock or Western States or something, it would have been the same way. I would have said, I'm not going to go out there and start the race when I know there's no chance I'm going to finish.
And how about DNF?
Yeah, what about DNFing? When is that okay?
I don't know anything about that.
Can we go around in the circle? Corey, how many DNFs do you have?
I have two. I DNF'd my first 100 miler in the mountains, not first 100 miler. And that was a really big deal to me. That was a really hard
first
one.
First attempt and you DNF'd.
No, it was my second 100, but first one in the mountains.
Okay. Scotty, how many DNFs do you have?
I have three already this year. I mean,
so you're a chronic
DNF. I'm probably 10 plus. I would call myself a, I don't know. I mean, chronic's kind of a hard word. I don't chronically, but pretty regularly, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like to collect race shirts.
I do a lot of races. Yeah. You know, if you're not DNFing, you're probably not doing that many races.
You're not racing,
you know?
Yeah. So
except Kat.
When do you decide, Scotty? You're just like, well, I've done it, been there, not feeling it.
It's different every time. You know, I mean, sometimes it's just like we talked about Potawatomi. It was I didn't want to spend the next 20 hours to have a 40-hour, 100-mile finish on a course that I had finished already twice before. Right. Sometimes it's, you know, I'm in so much pain that I'm not having fun anymore. I don't have a chance of finishing. You know, I mean,
are you ever afraid that because you've DNF'd now enough it's too easy to do that?
I think it's become easier. I think that's absolutely true.
But is that a fear?
Yeah, I think so.
For me, that'd be like a fear.
I have to, you know, here's a good example. I ran the Bear 100 during this injury. Okay. And I had actually asked the ortho, can I run these 100-mile races? And he said, you can, but you're not going to finish. You know, go ahead and try. And at the Bear, I found myself at mile 20, I said to Amanda Runyon, just go. I'm not going to finish today. There's no reason for you to slow down. Just go. So I stopped at an aid station, sat down next to the great Errol Jones, who's a epic ultra runner originally from Chicago, and told him about my story, and he said, yeah, that's too bad. And, you know, we had a nice chat, and I dropped out of the race. And maybe about 20 minutes later, the Rocket, they call him the Rocket, he looks at me and he says, you know what, Scott, I think you could finish. I think you could do it. This is a good section. You're going to rally, go out there. It's all downhill. It's real gentle. It's a great place for you to get your race back. So it didn't work for me. I threw up out there, came back. But you could do it. Go ahead, give it a try. So I go back to the aid station and I said to the ham radio guy, number 9, I'm back in the race and I'm out. So I go back out on the trail. And for the record, the Rocket is a total fucking liar. I mean, it was all uphill. It was in the sun.
After mile 30, right?
This was after mile 20. There's that aid station. Then
20
you go
of 100?
Up the mountain, back down, and then you come to the one with the out and back. It's the one right before that. So I'm out there, and then, you know, and I'm just like, well, you know what? Maybe the Rocket was right because the sun is shining. It's a beautiful place to run. Why am I quitting anyway? So I rallied to the next aid station, which was mile 35, I think. So I went to mile 35, and I think I'm going to quit. And I talked to the people about quitting, and then I said, you know what? Fuck this. Why am I quitting? You know, I'm going to get back out there. So I get my drop bag. I go through my drop bag, get my stuff, go back out, told them, okay, number 9, I'm out. So I go out on the trail. I get about a mile down the trail and I stop in the middle of the trail. I said, what are you doing? You have no chance of finishing this race. You're just going to hurt yourself. You're wasting your time. You're kidding yourself. Go back to the aid station, save yourself some trouble. So I turn around and I headed back to the aid station. I got about 3/4 of a mile down the path, and I said,
Rocket stopped you.
What the fuck am I doing? I paid money to be here. Why am I quitting? You are such a loser. The sun is shining. Turn around, went back together. I did this 3 times, all right? And then I had this conversation. What? You're an idiot. You've just spent a half an hour. Whoa. You've spent a half an hour having this conversation, and now you're totally fucked, and you're never going to finish. So I go back to the aid station. I said, number 9, I'm dropping. That's it. I'm done. Go back, I'm putting my stuff in my aid station, and then here comes our pal Amanda Runyon screeching into the aid station, tears coming down her eyes because she missed the turn. And so I gave her a hug and I said, you got to get back in there. Do you need help? Do you want me to walk with you a little bit? She goes, yes, come with me. So I go to the ham radio guy and I said, number 9, I'm back in the race and I'm out. So I went out with Amanda again.
Is the ham radio guy just rolling his eyes now?
No, this is, well, I mean, it's a different guy. But so I'm out on the thing, and I'm.
Did you finish this race?
I did.
It would have been great if you
did. Is the story too long for you? Do you want, you need to like the Reader's Digest version?
I'm exhausted.
Wait, what race was this again?
This is the bear.
I'm super excited.
In Utah.
So I went back out. Amanda dropped me like 5 miles later and said, I got to go. And I said, Amanda, you got to tell those ham guys I'm out here. Because my big fear is that, because we're out in the middle of the Wasatch Mountains. And it's like so scary. There's nobody there. I'm thinking they're going to check me off on the list. Mm-hmm. They're going to pack up their shit and leave. And I'm going to die out here.
Yep.
So I made her stop. I looked her in the eye. And I said, listen, you got to tell the guy I'm out here. So she's.
And then anyway, you worried about her not telling the whole time.
Yes. Yeah. Paranoid. And then I found this girl who was hobbling down the trail by herself, limping. And I went up to her and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to drop. Do you want some company? And she's just like, oh, my God, that's so nice. I'm so scared. It's dark. I'm out here by myself. So I went in with her. And then I dropped for the third time. And then the race was over.
I think
over.
We're like in the sixth time.
Yeah. I may have the record for the most times dropping out of a race.
Each time he tells the story, he adds one more dropping and re-entering.
There's three drops.
It adds drama.
I dropped with the rocket. I dropped it at the one where Amanda was crying. And then I dropped at
my. I know, but in your mind, you dropped 45 like four times.
Well, in my mind.
You're learning a lot of valuable information about how your mind's going to start messing with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what happens. You can go back and forth so many times.
What is the point of the story?
I don't remember.
We were talking about DNFs and DNSs, and we went around, and everybody was supposed to talk about the DNF.
You're supposed to be like Corey was very...
Was it like a lightning round?
Yeah. Corey was very succinct with his answer, and then I went to Scotty, and the fucking roadblock hit.
You got the Rocket Jones story coming out. I don't know why.
Much thanks to Eric for the original question.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
So, do you regret any of your DNFs, Scott?
I don't think you have any regrets, can you?
Well, I don't regret that one. I didn't have any chance of finishing. Sawtooth, I didn't regret. Tuscobia, I quit at mile 60-something. That was like a learning lesson.
So, it sounds like there's no point to regret a DNF. If you DNF and you've decided you need to do it, then... You know, own it and move on.
Well, but there's
that's how I felt. I mean, I don't like it. It made me very sad for a long period, for the next year until I went back and got that race
again. You were
again.
Sad
like,
for a year?
Yeah.
You know what I find
now
this interesting?
But I didn't, like,
crazy. We used to have a friend, Scotty, that he was kind of a fast guy, and you kind of would mock him when he would DNF like in a marathon.
Yeah,
well, because his time wasn't good.
DNF a marathon,
but see, there's like different reasons.
I actually did last year. So did Aaron.
That was because your friend was drunk and you guys had too many tacos.
Well, but okay. Here's another point that I think we're missing. There's different ways to DNF. Okay, there's the get time cut off, which means you know sometimes that's out of your hands. Sometimes it's you're not trained enough. There's the injury DNF, and by injury I mean with a capital I injury, not the quote unquote
not the Corey Fain.
My hamstring my was acting up or my knee issue
the blister that doesn't exist in your shoe.
I'm talking you go to the doctor the next day or you go to the hospital the next. That's a real injury. And then there's the mental DNF. Like our friend Dr. Ed Cook, we talked to him this weekend, you know, and he says, I went through this entire process in my head and I'm just a fucking idiot. I don't know why I quit, you know, like our Kettle Moraine DNF. That was more mental, you know. We just kind of gave up on it. We looked at the math. It was overwhelming.
When did you guys do that? Last year?
That was...
I DNF'd that last year.
2 years ago, at least.
Yeah, that one I didn't care at all about.
I DNF'd Ice Age last year.
Was that time cut off or you quit?
I got to mile 37 and I just wanted to stop. I had an hour to get to mile 40 before the turnaround. And I saw Jeff Moss... I know his name has been mentioned on here, and Kathleen, actually, and they just looked like hell. They were throwing up everywhere. They were getting ready to quit, and they're like, you look awesome, and I'm like, shit, I can't drop out right now. I got to go 3 more miles. So I walked to come in after the cutoff so they can pull me.
So you, like, intentionally timed out.
You committed ultra-suicide.
I did. It was because my legs were starting to hurt, and I knew I had to drive Melissa and I home.
Yeah,
so.
You don't need to make an excuse. You just decided to quit.
Exactly.
Did you care? Did you care about that one? Was it a hard decision to make? Or
no, for some reason I dislike running at Kettle. I don't know why.
It's an interesting thing, quitting, isn't it? Because you spend so much time training and so much time working.
No, I really didn't spend that much time training for that one. So,
so that's why it's easy.
So it was okay.
But I also think it would be really different for someone like me or like Tony Cesario or you know some of our friends that do a lot of like I've already done 7 ultras this year. I think if I did 2 races a year or 3 races a year, it might be different, you know?
Do you feel like maybe you just do too many races and it's too easy to quit?
I think that might be part of it, but I still feel really bad when I quit, even when I have a good reason.
Like, you're still learning about what a good number of races is.
Yeah.
Well, he's not, but I think the thing to point out is that he's not afraid of DNFing, and so that's because he's got
a lot of races.
No, but you can look at it the other way around. Afraid of DNFing, he signs up for a lot of races.
It's like Scotty and I used to do a lot of 5Ks.
Might as well.
Okay, between Pottawatomie and the Bear, you're going back to the Bear, correct, in September?
Yes.
How many 100 milers from Pottawatomie through the Bear are you signed up for or planning to sign up for?
36?
Two. I have two more.
Okay, so you've already done Pottawatomie, you stopped. Indiana, you finished.
Mm-hmm. Angeles Crest.
Okay.
And then the Bear.
Okay. So that's four in that amount of time. Now, I know that when I was going for the 100, that if I would have DNF'd, I didn't have that option because now I'm focusing on helping other people finish a marathon. So I would have been like Corey. And for like a whole 6-8 months, a year, whatever, until I did the next one, beating myself up that I didn't finish it.
Yeah, right.
But when you have that many, at least you're like, okay, I didn't finish pot. I'm going to go for it in 2 weeks at Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was part of my thought process.
Yeah. That's what we're saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm suggesting maybe you're signing up for so many, you're like, fuck it, I can do it in 2 weeks, I can do another.
But I also go do races that the people at the race say, you know, maybe that's a little out of your league too. Like San Juan Solstice, there was nobody from Chicago at that race, you know, and Tony finished like a minute and a half after the cutoff. I mean, that was the first time I ever got time cut off, and you know, I got to mile 17. The guy goes, "Oh, by the way, you're done." What do you mean I'm done? You know, I mean, and there's nothing you can really do about that except maybe be a better runner or run faster. So, I don't know. I know that it's easy to quit, and I know that it stings for a long time, and I know that I don't like the feeling of quitting, and I don't like. You know, coming home and telling my wife that I quit. You know, that look in her eye.
She's so judgmental, your wife, though.
Maybe deep down inside she's saying, why do we keep buying all this crap and doing all these races if you're not going to finish any of them? I mean, that being said, she hasn't been at my last two finish lines either. You know, she didn't make it to Indiana and she didn't make it to Ice Age.
We should have a whole podcast with just your wife on here.
Oh, at some point.
How do you feel about your husband being such a quitter?
So wait, did she make up the car trouble for Indiana?
No, she really had a car problem. Yeah. But I don't know. All right. What's the other question, seeing as though we've already used up 10 minutes
on
this
question? That was like a 38-minute answer.
This is two junk miles.
Can we go back and can we get all the times you quit again on that one in that same race? Let's count them.
All right. So first, there was...
one other thing that I'll add about DNFing and sort of the capital I injury versus regular injury. I think unless you know you have a capital I injury, which is really easy to convince yourself that you do, you should just try and keep going no matter what until you get timed out.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I reached a point at Sawtooth, me and my wife had a deal. It's going to be a time cutoff or someone else's medical decision, not ours. Because it's really easy to convince yourself that you're injured.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a conversation that I've had with myself many times. Mm-hmm. Or even with Corey, where he was, you know, didn't want to risk serious permanent injury out here, man. I don't want to risk any serious injury, man.
Whatever.
Is that how he sounds?
Yes.
When I'm running.
Sounds about right.
What was the other question?
Megan asks on the Facebook page, how do you taper for a 50-mile or 100K?
You guys don't even taper.
Oh, I just not run that week of the race.
The whole week you take off?
Well, maybe like a 2 mile or a 3 mile run just to stay loose. But
yeah, I do 3-4-3. I do a 10 mile on the weekend and then 3-4-3 in the middle of the week.
Wow. That sounds very scientific.
He's regimental.
Whoa, with the guy that might get a serious
injury. Did I just say that out loud?
And the 3 weeks with the bananas beforehand, too.
Mm-hmm. That, too.
Okay, there you go, Megan. 10-3-4-3.
Yep.
Is that for 50 mile
either
and 100K?
Way, no matter what.
100 mile?
Yeah.
50K? Anything. Marathon?
50K.
Doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds pretty universal.
My thinking of not running, I know it sounds kind of weird. Maybe most people don't do this, but like if I take a week off of running for some random reason or maybe even 2 weeks, that first day back, I feel so good and fresh and like excited about running. And so mentally, and I think a little physically, just like not running that week before the race makes me excited about being out there. But maybe that's just my weird way of
looking. So like you're fresh out of the chute?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I like that. I don't have a taper plan.
Yeah, you don't taper at all, do you?
Not really. Like, I mean, I'll still go. I mean, I don't like go out and do like 20-mile run, but I mean.
I taper like a son of a bitch for marathons.
What's the theory behind that? You know, is it? Or, I mean, have you ever not tapered and seen how that worked?
No.
Or? Is it because that's what Runner's World tells you to do?
Thank you for mocking me. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, so why do you taper?
I tell you, I don't taper for the half marathons, which I do like a half marathon about a month before most marathons, and I never run a half marathon very well. But I taper for a marathon and I run it really well.
But do you know that there's any correlation between those things?
Of course not.
Have you studied any science on this?
No, but I definitely feel fresh and good. There's a whole science about like building up your carb. Like your carbohydrates in your body.
Oh, I thought you meant like carb in a car.
Yeah.
Like carbo loading?
Well, but I'm saying like you're supposed to like drain yourself like a month, like a week before, and then build it all the way back up. Oh. So you got a full 2,000 calories in you. Your body can only hold 2,000 mm-hmm. calories.
Yeah.
If,
yeah.
And there's a whole thing about.
Where is this that you're reading this?
It's science.
I don't have the study fucking.
No. I'm just saying, is this a book you read? Is this an article? Is this a training plan? Know, is this a Hansen method? Where did this come from?
You can just Google it. You're
the body can only hold 2,000 calories. Yeah, yeah. That's why we hit the wall at mile 20 unless we're continuing.
Yeah, but I thought and you're tapering to rest your muscles and the rest. What?
Well, there's all. Well, okay. So there's two things.
Yeah, we're talking about different concepts, it feels like. Yeah. Okay.
And then as far as the tapering, I mean, I don't know. You just feel fresh, don't you?
I mean, there's a lot of things in running that we do because everybody tells us that that's like something that we've always known. You know, like
I definitely feel fresh. I took Saturday off this last Saturday. It was the first day I have not worked out.
Have you ever since the
Boston Marathon? And on Sunday, I went out and I did 17 miles at a 7-minute pace, and I was fucking fast, and I felt great.
What about that Wisconsin marathon?
Yeah. One day is not tapering.
You didn't taper for that, right?
Jeez.
But no, it's not tapering. But I'm saying you take time off and you.
Yeah, but even a day is
fresh.
Yeah, that's fresh. Yeah.
No, but remember when we did that marathon that was out of the blue?
Yeah.
When I was doing the comrades thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You ran what?
I don't know, like a 3:07 or something, 3:04.
And but it wasn't very good. There's no taper.
No.
What was your PR at the time?
2:52.
No.
Yeah.
I have a question, though, about recovery.
Yeah.
Like, you run fast. How long do you not run after a race in order to recover?
I run the next day.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, because I think that's what the majority of us do after ultras. I mean, maybe not the very next day.
But I just run to feel.
Okay.
I don't, like, have a... If I feel good, then I'm trying to avoid the DOMS.
Yeah. What's DOMS?
Delayed onset muscle soreness.
I mean, I know, but the listener.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that when the day after sometimes it doesn't feel very bad, and then 2 days later it feels.
And
really
I was telling,
bad.
I was texting Scotty every day after that fucking water bear
the
thing.
Stair thing. Yeah.
Stair thing. That's the most pain I've been in like 3 years.
Yeah, it takes a good long time for that to go away.
And it's just like one little spot on my upper calf.
The first time she did water bears.
Yeah.
It took me 2 weeks. Yeah. I swear to God, I couldn't walk for 2 weeks.
Is it like this one spot? Just below the knee? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, right there?
Yeah. It was bad.
I was like, I think I have compartment syndrome or something.
What is that?
You have like fascia around your muscles.
Okay.
And it forms compartments. And if that fascia doesn't expand, but your muscle has a lot of blood and stuff pumping in it.
Oh, it like bruises?
There's like pressure and it bruises. I'm not a scientist or a doctor. Should a doctor do this? But what happens is that it can't expand inside that fascia, your muscle. So it like breaks inside. And the only way to fix it is to slice your muscle open and just leave it open for like
You gotta be kidding me.
Our friend Eaton had that and it wasn't even running related.
It happens it's very common in like car accidents because
and football players.
Well, same thing. It's like a collision and your muscle is inside and it can't expand in the fascia.
Our friend Eaton, he fell on the floor in his apartment. And you know how like when you lay on the floor for like, you know, 3 hours and you lose all the feeling? Mm-hmm. He did that for like 12 hours.
And he fell and then he lay there for 12 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they thought they were going to have to take his leg off.
But it's a thing with running too. But you can get it with running.
You can get compartment syndrome.
Now I'm scared to run.
Yeah. Just Google it.
Yeah. Put it in the Google machine.
I do a lot of things with the Google. How to trim a mustache.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
No, it's uneven.
Well, and you know, and that brings up a good point, and that's, you know, when you have running injuries, how do you know when you're supposed to keep running,
right?
Not running, when is it serious?
I just
when
keep to go to
the
running.
Do you ever go to the doctor?
I went for my hips.
Yeah.
In fact, I did a whole thing where I went and had my hips x-rayed, and maybe we've talked about it on here before. They show everything in the x-ray, not just your bones. like everything. And I talked to a doctor this weekend about it. I was at a party and there was like a ER doctor there. And she looks at me straight face. We're like, you know, a couple beers in. She's like, unless there's something abnormal with your penis, they've seen 1,000 of them. And I'm like, that's what makes me feel bad. There's nothing abnormal. And we're just like a 35-year-old doctor and like a 60-year-old lady. It was two ladies. They were just staring at my penis for 20 minutes. No reaction.
You wanted a reaction? Stone face.
Anyway, this ER doctor, she gave me 30 minutes about how I need to stop running. It's unnatural to run 17 miles a day. It's unnatural. It's bad for you. My hips are going to fall apart.
So what is wrong with your hips? What was the diagnosis?
I got bone spurs, and they like bang into the labrum, and then that can tear, and eventually you have to get hip replacement.
So was the way to fix this to stop running fast and run slow and run long?
Nope.
Yep.
It's just to stop running.
And run on top.
Corey says, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you ran on trails and didn't run as fast, mm-hmm. I think it would
less impact, would slow, less grinding,
slow that.
Yeah, probably.
But that doesn't interest him.
The answer is always ultra running.
The answer is to not run.
Well, Katarina knows my.
The doctor right away is like, you probably would have this anyway, but if you were like overweight and were on their couch, you would never know it. So.
So that's your alternative. It's trail running or hit the couch.
Fucking ER doctor is like, I want to ask her. I'm like, would it be better if I would just fucking lay on the couch and drink soda all day?
Don't you guys always wish like we could feel what each other's pain feels like?
No.
Like I want to know if this pain that you're experiencing is really.
I don't
want to
know what sore nipples feel like.
You know what I mean?
I had a conversation back to Dr. Ed Cook that you know since I've been running and since I've been. Kind of like organizing a running group and answering questions from new runners that I've really started to appreciate we call it the hermeneutical problem of your interpretation of your pain versus my interpretation of my pain. That like, if you were inside my body, you might say, holy shit, how can he run like this?
That's what everybody thinks.
Or might like, get in my body and say,
you're in pain?
Yeah, nothing hurts at all. You know, we have no idea.
That's why they ask you at the doctor.
I was just going to bring it up.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds real mathematically.
So if I had a superpower, that's what it would be. I would want to be able to go into other people's
That's your superpower? That's fucking lame.
Engage people's pain.
That's so terrible. I want to be invisible.
I went to the doctor like 2
Always
weeks ago.
Always choose invisible.
Because I had strep throat and they did like, you know, what's your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? And I'm like, I don't know. Probably about a 2 or 3. I've never given birth. And the woman like looked at me like I was weird. And I'm like, what's wrong? She said, most people, when they have sore throats, they'll be like 6 or 7. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, do you have strep throat?
I'm going to say, for the record, pain during an ultra is way worse than childbirth.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good to know.
So these childbirth people are.
That is way overblown. Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to know what that is ever.
Well, don't you think it would be helpful if they showed the 1 to 10 and they said, you know, number 10 is obviously either kicked in the nuts or safe on the foot? You know, like,
vagina and butthole become one thing.
Oh my gosh.
What?
I think that's a 10.
Yeah.
I think they also call that an episiotomy. Is that what it's called?
That's a birthing thing. That's what I thought we were talking about. We're not talking about that?
Vagina and butthole become the same thing. What just happened?
And maybe
that'd be a 10, Katarina. That'd be a 10.
Maybe number 1 is a paper cut. You know.
Oh, those hurt though. Yeah. Those things just keep hurting.
Like a 5.
I mean, what kind of paper are we talking about?
Just copier paper.
Number 5 is, you know, fender bender. I don't know. There's no context for this.
Yeah.
I would guess everybody's an 8.
Day. Like all day long, my hips hurt. Sitting on the couch, they hurt.
But you're like 15 years old.
And he's still running 17 miles.
I know.
A day, so.
I can't.
Do you run? Is that, are you 17 miles a day?
Well, he's not on Strava, so nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows. It could be 300. Nobody would know.
And he's describing a pain that usually you hear like grandmas, you know, like 9-year-old woman.
It
my
feels,
hips hurt.
It feels like my grandfather when he had a hip replaced. Like getting in and out of the car hurts.
Also, mustache.
Yeah.
I mean,
the mustache, I think it makes it the pain
less.
You run
like, you know, 6-minute miles for an entire marathon. I something doesn't compute.
Yeah.
You think he shouldn't be in pain?
No, I don't think his pain is as bad as what he's saying.
Have you had a second opinion?
To defend my pain to Katarina?
Like, if his pain was as bad as he says, like, then he would be running like 13-minute miles or walking.
You don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused.
Or have the surgery.
You don't go the other way where it's like, he's really tough. He's got an abnormally large penis and he's very tough. And I could tell by the mustache.
I did not see the x-ray, sorry.
We'll have a We'll have this conversation after you do your 100 miler.
Somebody's got the X-ray.
Do you have a digital format?
Rush.
Can we put it on the Facebook page?
I wanted to take a photo of the X-rays.
If you demand copies of your medical records, they'll give them to you.
Because I thought, because it was funny that it was 20 minutes of it being up there and we're looking at it.
Done.
Cut off.
Somebody is thrilled.
Anybody else want a Diet Pepsi?
Is that 10 minutes left?
We got 10 minutes left, yeah.
10 junk miles left.
Oh, really? Finalized. Finally,
we used up a whole segment on.
Can I come back?
Whenever you want.
I'm sorry, I bailed.
I'm just going to throw this in. I have a buddy who
we like professionals on here.
I have a buddy who's running across the state of Massachusetts, and I'm going to quickly read his Facebook thing. I'm starting my trans mass run across the state in loving memory of Jimmy Smith, Daniel Contreras, and Phil Longo, who lost their lives to heroin addiction. It's 146 miles from Revere to Pittsfield, then a summit push to the top of Mount Greylock, the highest point in Massachusetts. I'm excited to leave my comfort zone and do something large in life. I can't wait to flee from the monotonous routine of adulthood and escape into a mental sanctuary of tranquility, concrete, sweat, pain, grand adventure, pleasure, music, hotels, and mountains. I didn't pack my map, won't need it where I'm going. I'm going where the wind is blowing, not caring where I'm going to sleep. Which I thought was pretty cool. Michael Condella.
That is really cool.
I mean, to be fair, that is exactly what running is about. It's a little too, like, poetic for me. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to follow, but I love the passion about it, what he's got going, and I like how he's like getting wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
Katarina, when are we back?
Oh gosh, you caught me off guard here.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
A couple weeks. Damn it.
You're fired.
Before Kettlemarine or after Kettlemarine?
After. Okay. No. Wait, I don't remember.
Okay,
all right. Everybody get out your calendar. That makes some good
radio. Kettle Marine is not this coming weekend. It is the following weekend, June 6th and 7th.
We're wasting time by just.
What do you have going up
on
the next 2 months? Yeah, Tuesday, June 9th
is our next recording, so it'll be after Kettle Marine.
Post-kettle.
Okay. For running, so, I got nothing planned. I got nothing on the calendar.
You're going to be training?
I'm just training my ass off for the October 11th marathon.
Okay.
Between now and then.
Is that Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to get out and do some running with us on the trails maybe too?
Well, to be fair, every weekend I'm booked. I got Buddy coming in this weekend for the Cubs Royals. Then I'm at a bachelor party. Then I'm at a wedding.
So you're going to run during the week and then party on the weekend.
Yeah.
Kind of the opposite of
what we're doing. Which is really, really tough for me.
If I see you on the lakefront again, I'll wave to you and say hi next time.
Next time we won't pass and then I'll look back and it's awkward.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Kat, what do you have going on the next 2 weeks?
I'm going to be at the Cubs Royals game.
Running upper deck. Running related.
Oh, sorry.
The calendar.
Which seat?
Jesus.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to be pacing my good friend Tony at the Kettle Marine 100. And here's the crazy thing about Tony.
You tell us.
He approximately 2 weeks ago, he suffered a stroke. He was running and he went down in the middle of his run and had to be rushed to the hospital.
I just want to say we know that's true because the Strava shows him in the ambulance going to the hospital.
Take note, Aaron.
And because Scott and I went and visited him and we saw in the hospital.
I mean, I guess that's further evidence.
Yeah. Anyway, but that, of course, did not stop Tony, and he's trying to get himself back into the swing of things.
Tony was arranging travel plans for not the Kettle Marine 100, but the 100 after that from the intensive care room.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know he was intensive care.
Yeah. So, and again, it's like one of those things that can happen. It's, you know, you've got all these plans for your life and you're thrown a loop, and Tony's really, you know, just trying to get through it. And so I'm going to be helping him hopefully make it through the Kettle Marine 100.
And we've been running with him and, you know, watching him get better. And I run with him most days. Someday we'll have him on the podcast. He hates podcasts, people that talk about running.
We barely talk about running.
Tony hates just about everything. You know,
he thinks we're cute.
He tolerates us and he loves dogs. That's it. That's the pyramid of Tony's hatred. But he actually went running at Water Bears. He had his bracelet from the hospital,
which was the very next day.
And the electrodes.
He still had the electrode thing stuck to him.
Still stuck to his body.
Yeah.
That's our pal Tony. So you're going to be pacing him at the 100 mile.
Right.
And training your ass off. My next 2 weeks looks the same. I'm going to be training my ass off. I didn't make my goal last week. I wanted to get to 100, and I only got to like 75 miles.
Oh, wow.
Solid?
Yeah, that is solid.
And I'm going to be pacing a guy named James Fayford at the Kettle Marine 100, who's come up short about 5 times. And
at Kettle or at 100?
I think at Kettle. Okay. I think he's tried several times. He had struggles at night. So I'm going to hopefully get him to that finish line. That'll be a great thing. He's a great guy. And Cindy Fayford's a great woman.
But here's the thing about him. He'll sign up for like the Pottawatomie 30 and he'll run 100 miles that weekend.
Yeah, he signed up for the 30. So he's got it in him. And he ran the 100, yeah. Corey, what are you up to? You got to be training your ass off. You got the 200 coming up.
Yeah, I'm trying to ramp up the mileage. I'm trying to, my goal is to sneak out to Colorado this weekend.
Nice.
Get some miles in. I don't know if it's going to be possible because I have to be back for soccer games on Sunday.
Some guys sneak off with a little lady. You're sneaking off to Colorado.
I'd just like to spend
Where would you stay?
That's awesome.
Nowhere?
What city would you go to?
I have no idea.
Just, so you don't have a plan?
No plan.
It's Tuesday.
So wait, like you'll hop off the plane, run, and then run back to the airport and hop on the plane and come back?
Sounds good for a guy with two kids.
Yeah. Probably no Friday. I'd probably leave on a late Friday night flight and then just get up and run all day Saturday and then go back to the airport.
But you wouldn't know where you'd be running.
I'll figure it out later in the week.
Interesting.
I don't know. Do you have any recommendations?
I'd go to Leadville.
Boulder.
Yeah, Boulder seems fun.
I go to Leadville and I do Mount Elbert a couple times.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, it's runnable almost to the top. I mean, it's not like you'd want to run, but it's not like mountain climbing is what I mean.
Yeah. It might be too early in the year still.
Yeah, there might be some.
I got to factor that in too to figure out which trails are open or whatever. So that's what I'm going for this weekend.
They're talking about rerouting the San Juan Solstice. Yeah, it's like a shit show.
And then next weekend, I'm going to hopefully pay somebody a pod. If not, I'll do the fun run and hang out.
Catamaran, you mean?
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Or you can interview people and cover the race.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we say this a lot. You got to rate the show. You got to write a review. Please, please, please. It really helps us out and helps other people find us. You can like us on Facebook. Tell a friend. What? He's holding up his hand.
You never asked your really stupid question to the guests.
Oh, yeah.
Who would they like to have on?
Oh, sorry, Jen. Who would be a good guest for us to have who's someone that you know that you could recommend to us to come to the show?
Anastasia Rolick.
Anastasia Supergirl. That'd be fun.
See, she was even prepared for the stupid question.
Right, that was the first time somebody's answered that question.
No. Was I prepared for it? Of course I was prepared for
now,
it.
Now, who would you have on if you could have anybody ever, the living or dead? What are you saying?
He's mocking me.
Of course.
Why is he mocking me?
The living or dead? Well, if it's the living or dead.
I've never said living or dead. Why would we want? Why do I care about dead people?
We want Blanco Caballo.
Anybody
then,
in the
right?
world.
So it has to be living.
Yes, we can't have a guest that's dead.
No BB King. You cannot have BB King on the podcast.
No. If you're going to have anybody who's dead, it has to be Blanco Caballo. Because, I mean, what other?
Isn't it Caballo Blanco?
Yeah, whatever.
Who's that? The something white?
The white horse. You know, he's that barefoot guy that ran through Mexico.
I don't know.
There's so much wrong with this, and I'm not even going to correct anybody. But let's just move on to people that are alive. Who would be a good, who you would like to hear on the show?
I said Anastasia.
Yeah.
You know, I would really love to hear Candace Bert.
Candace Bert.
That's a great idea. We'll see if we can get her.
Okay.
She douched out on us.
Is that an actress?
And then anybody who has a pack or Bergman. Waist belt named after them.
Anyone who
those would all be good people.
I didn't hear you.
I said anybody who has a pack or waist belt that's named after them.
It's like that Nathan guy.
Fanny pack.
Or Anton. Or
anybody named Nathan?
Scott.
Yeah,
speaking of, do you guys even know what fannies are in Britain? It's different than in America.
Bum?
Nope.
Wait, are we talking about like slang for butt or a fanny pack?
Well, we're going to get there.
Okay.
Bum.
No, it's a, we said it already today, it's a vagina. That's what a fanny is in Britain.
No.
They call fanny packs vagina.
I know, that's what's so funny, because we have a fanny pack.
Instead of
a sidebar.
Okay, that's interesting. There's so many places that we can go with.
So tell a friend about the podcast. Like us on Facebook. We're looking for your results.
12-year-old boys probably like this show.
Post your results. Give us some more questions for our grab bag. Our grab bag's running a little bit empty.
Let us know if our fans like dudes with mustaches.
Yeah, we'll post a mustache. Did you get a mustache?
Can we do a poll? Can we do like an online poll?
We can do a poll.
We covered polls last time.
That's good, Scotty. That's your first good one. Somebody keep a track of good ones from Scotty. We should get a fucking thing on that.
Put it on the board. Yeah. What is the poll that you want?
Like, if you like mustaches or not.
Do you like
mustaches? I think
mustaches.
They're coming back.
Yes or no? All right. I'll punch that up right after
we're done. How do you feel about mustaches?
Write that down on your. I think we'll.
I'm fine with mustaches.
Older women love them.
Older women?
Yeah.
Cat.
It's because of the Magnum PI thing.
All right.
I bet you Corey's wife probably likes mustaches.
That's not on the.
Looks like you're gonna say something. Oh, you were trying to end the show.
No.
Coming off. Go ahead.
I thought we were done with the show.
Yeah, done. And
10 Drunk Miles was taped in front of a live studio audience. For transcripts of the show, please visit www.10drunkmiles.com. 10 Drunk Miles.